WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Diplomacy is underway to try to end the week-long war between Israel and Iran, with a meeting underway in Geneva.
French President Emmanuel Macron says Europe will push for a negotiated solution to the conflict, but expectations for any breakthroughs are low.
Reports ABC's Inés de la Quintera. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio speaking this morning by phone with the French foreign minister stressed the United States is ready for direct contact with the Iranians at any time. Should that fail, we've learned a second aircraft carrier is making its way from the Western Pacific to the Middle East, and a third is set to leave Virginia. An appeals court is allowing President Trump to keep control of the National Guard troops that he sent to Los Angeles following protests over immigration raids, Trump arguing that the troops were necessary to restore order. Governor Gavin Newsom says that they inflamed tensions and usurped local authority. This is ABC News. A film about a fish marks a big birthday today. Details from ABC's Mike DeBusky.
Shark! 50 years ago, Jaws premiered in theaters.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine.
The movie about an island community terrorized by a giant shark was notoriously difficult to film. The mechanical sharks used in production were prone to breaking in the saltwater ocean off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. What was supposed to be a 50-day shoot ballooned into more than 150. But Jaws made more than $260 million and is considered the first modern summer blockbuster.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
And Jaws is being re-released in theaters later this summer to celebrate the anniversary. It'd be fun to see that at a drive-in. Basketball, a decisive win for the Pacers last night in Indiana, beating the Thunder 108-91 and forcing a winner-take-all Game 7. That'll be Sunday in Oklahoma City, the first Game 7 since 2016. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Pacers beat the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night in Indianapolis, 108-91, to tie up the NBA Finals at three games apiece. Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton from the Pacers on Sunday night in Oklahoma City. It'll be the first time there's been a Game 7 in the Finals in 9 years.
You know, for the next couple of days, the narratives are going to be almost poison, you know, to talk about what this would mean to our city and legacy talk, and we played so well.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a three-game series against the Twins at Target Field. The Crew with a dramatic 8-7 win over the Cubs in Chicago yesterday, despite some very questionable balls and strike calls by the home plate umpire against the Brewers' Abner Uribe and Trevor McGill.
Pretty bad calls there in Abner's inning and in my inning. Yeah, I mean, that's baseball, I guess. I mean, they're going to have bad days back there, too.
That's Brewers closer Trevor McGill with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few showers and thunderstorms around early, then increasing sunshine with highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with lows in the mid-70s. Hot and humid this weekend, highs in the mid-90s. Heat index values as high as 105. Currently, it's 70 at our studios.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The John and Gordy Show.
Mike McCabe joins us, by the way.
Yes, Mike. You know about the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
The announcer calls them the Nanners.
They have all kinds of antics.
They have bright yellow uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And they do performance dances at home base.
Or the in the field.
The players are out there like cheerleaders.
Yeah. And even the umpires get involved.
Yeah, they do.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And WGBW.
One, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
I really do. It's a weird custom. It's one of those things that's been around forever, and you do it, and I'm like, why am I shaking this person's hand? It's invasive, it's intimate, it's strange.
What about a high five?
That's less invasive, and I like the bump.
The bump.
You know what? I like the bow. I'm showing respect to you. I don't.
And do you touch elbows then? Did you do that during COVID like everyone else?
I probably did. Wearing a coat, wearing 10 layers. Yeah. hey, welcome back to Nightlight. We're kicking off Act Two here, folks. If you are just joining us, we had a lot of fun in hour number one. We talked to my current guest, J.B. Thompson, who gave us the popcorn pick of the week, and it was Everything Everywhere All at Once, a great film, Oscar nominated film from a couple of years ago. Our question of the night is, who is your favorite retired athlete? We've had a wide range of submissions so far, and we will catch up on text in just a little bit. Coming up shortly at 7:20 will be Chelsea Myris, who is the education manager at Old World Wisconsin, a phenomenal museum. And the Wisconsin Historical Society does so much great work. They have so many cool things to see here in our state. And admittedly, I'm guilty of this too. I'm behind on it. I've never been to Old World, Wisconsin, and I can't wait to go. They offer a lot of really cool programs, so we'll talk about that. They have a great event coming up called their Midsummer event. We'll talk about that with Chelsea in just a bit. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our in-studio guest, J.B. Thompson, the guy behind the guy. Behind the guy. You have to take that pause because that's just it for emphasis. Great movie pick, buddy. It's great to have you here. We were talking a little bit about during the break about product placement in movies. Mm-hmm. And you said, I thought this was interesting. I feel like it's worth going back to. When I made a film and I was part of helping out other people make films, it seems like companies wanted to stay away from rated R. They're very conservative. Mm-hmm. You say that's changing a little bit.
I would think so, yeah.
Have you experienced that, or are they just willing to?
Just certain companies more identify with that. I mean, you're not going to get one of the main, you know, restaurant sponsors or somebody that's more of like a family thing, but there's niches for everything, right?
Sure.
You know,
you could get like an adult film company. If you got a lot of swearing, maybe they would be willing to roll the dice.
There you go. Take it to a whole different level, right?
Exactly. Well, that's encouraging. You've got other projects in the works. Before we get to those, I want to ask you, you've done a lot of, you're kind of tied into the film festival circuit, especially here in Northeast Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Central Wisconsin, Northern Wisconsin. What festivals have you been to that really kind of caught your attention or are deserving that you should get the word out about?
Well, I'd say that the Door County Film Festival was a lot of fun, and it's a very about film festival.
Yeah,
it's not about awards or flashiness or whatever.
Great lineup. Yeah,
it's hang out and let's watch some great films and then talk a little bit about them. I mean, the SoGo Film Festival, your guest Miles,
yeah,
you know, he was on for a few minutes before he had to do stuff. But he put on a heck of a film festival.
Yeah.
Down in Stoughton, Wisconsin.
I saw the post. It looked really fun.
It was a blast. And so that, and then MIFA and NIFA, there's just a ton of them. So the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards, and then the NIFA Awards in Appleton. And that's more of an award show setting. Okay. So you're not looking at as many screenings. You're looking at a couple of the films that won awards. And then you're just really networking with other filmmakers.
To me, that's the fun. Like, I spend a lot of time at the Wisconsin Film Festival every year, and just the people I meet is so much fun. It's like they're people you're not going to meet typically anyway at the grocery store or whatever, unless you live in LA or New York or wherever. So I think it's great that there are more and more film festivals, and if people haven't gone to them, they should really go have that experience.
For sure.
Sit down and watch a Q&A after a film and find out what the director was thinking, and you'd be surprised at some of the guests these film festivals get. I was bummed out because Kirk Krause worked on the Door County Film Festival, and they invited me over there one day, and I couldn't go.
Oh.
So I love Door County, and I just feel like it should have a film festival.
Yep. You need to get, like, your helicopter license so you can just go over the bay,
go right
there
over the bay,
and just land. And plus, I imagine it's interesting for you to go to film festivals because you're kind of a public figure, or you are a public figure, where people, you know, disclose things on the air, like you don't like to shake hands. And then I feel bad because I shook his hand when I got here.
Well, listen, I just sort of accept it as a custom. I just don't. I think it's, I accept it, I do it, but I'm not happy about it.
Okay.
How does that sound?
That's perfect. But I mean, as a public figure, when you go to these different events like the Wisconsin Film Festival, and I know you did the PBS show for years, and then the movie Indie Guys, that was another fun movie where you had to endure, like, what you would say, the independent filmmaker mentality, where the guy's trying to get all the credit and he keeps interrupting you when he's talking. And, you know. Just
no, I have the utmost respect for people who are willing to jump into that world and make their own film. Even if it's like, and I've been, you know, I've read scripts that I thought were pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I still have so much respect for what they're doing. And you want to do anything you can to help them get through it. Because when you're younger, you're jaded, you think you know everything. And then you go through some stuff and you're like, we all just need to help each other.
Yep.
And it's a great experience. Craig on the stream, that's one of your pals. Mm-hmm. JB, I don't care for Craig personally, but I've had him on the show several times. He says, Pete, you and JB are looking great and sounding great as always. Thank you, Craig. He's got, look how nicely he's dressed, though. He's got the suit. He looks like the mover and the shaker he is. Lil Irv says, Bruce Jenner, in response to our question of the night, who is your favorite retired athlete? Yeah, he definitely retired, that's for sure. He went far away from the decathlon Bruce Jenner. All right, JB Thompson is my guest, folks. It's been a lot of fun having him in the studio here. He is an independent film producer. And tell me again the name of your company.
Oh, Midwest Digital
Ninjas.
Down, thank you. It's okay.
You said that when you were on months ago, and now I just see you as like a film producer. So I didn't even bother to write that down because you're doing so much stuff in the film world.
I'm always willing to help people, Pete. That's the thing.
Like, I know. I like that about you.
You know, I'm always willing to help people.
I love that spirit, and just it's very selfless. Giant Spider Invasion, a cult classic here in Wisconsin. Oh, anywhere, but made here in Wisconsin. Bill Rabane, the director, lives in northern Wisconsin. He's getting up there in years. You guys are making a sequel. How is that going?
It's actually a reimagined remake.
Oh.
That we're bringing back the director, and he's actually going to direct additional footage that's going to be seamlessly cut into the original 1975 film.
That's wow.
Yep. So it's been a challenge on multiple fronts for different reasons. But he's still like running around like a madman, having a great time. And he said, JB, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right.
Good for him.
So 88.
Yeah, that's amazing. How does he owns all the rights to it then, I assume, if he can cut it up. And
yeah, as far as I know.
If you have a nude scene, Conrad would love to do it.
Okay.
And he's...
Conrad's into that
I
sort of thing.
I just put visuals into him.
I have a very visual mind.
Oh, my goodness.
he's very scantily clad some nights when he produces the show.
But so it's going to be scarier, campier, and it's going to be funnier. So we're cutting in some really good stuff.
Okay, so are you going to take stuff out to add stuff, or are you just adding to the runtime?
We're adding to the runtime.
Okay. That's interesting. So who's writing all this stuff? Are you guys all working on it with Bill?
Well, I'm not on the writing side. I'm more on the production side.
Okay.
As far as like managing the production as it goes along. But actually, Kelly Peterson, Donna Frankert, and Craig Knitt have have kind of teamed up to work with Bill. Bill's done the principal writing, and they're kind of helping as a writing team to work on it together.
Okay. It's funny you say Kelly Peterson. I had a Kelly Peterson on this show about a month ago.
Yeah, but not the same one.
Right. I think I reached out to the other one, and she's like, I don't think I'm supposed to, or she said something. I can't remember what it was. I'm like, it's a pretty common name, but I think I did reach out. But she's in this business.
Yeah,
isn't
for sure.
She also a producer or something, too? Like, yeah, it was the exact same profession.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. She's a film producer.
Like Tim and KP, as we call her, and Donna, they've been involved in a ton of different films as well.
Wow. All right. So you got your producer hat on. If you had your choice when it comes to producing films, and I don't know if people know just how involved producers are. Producers are the ones that accept the Oscar for Best Picture because they're kind of the overseer. I mean, you got the director, but oftentimes the producer brings the director in. They have kind of the all-encompassing job. What film are you making? What kind and who's in it and what is it?
Like a brand new project? Or yeah, like something, we're like, looking at something that already happened.
Well, I don't expect you to come up with the story, but like what kind of a film would you want to make and who would you cast in it? I assume you cast your buddies in some level, but what who's the star of it?
I'd probably do a Western.
Okay.
And I'd like to work with Cooper Barnes, which he is a big fan of Westerns.
Okay.
So Cooper Barnes is, and again, we talked earlier about what do I like that my kids watch, and Cooper Barnes was Captain Man on Henry Danger, and my kids made me watch. I think entire catalog of everything that he did, including a movie. And to be honest, like, he's got good comedic timing. He's a funny guy, and I think he'd be fun to work with.
I know this guy. He's been in a lot of stuff. That's pretty cool.
And he's doing shorts, and he's a huge fan of Westerns. I'm a huge fan of Westerns. I love old school, like Gunsmoke, old cowboy movies and stuff. And I think that was such an interesting pivot point in this country's history to go through what they went through during that time.
That's pretty amazing. Do you know the show The Rifleman?
No.
Okay.
Is that something I need to check out?
Well, it's just one of those old, like you're saying, I think it's pre-Gunsmoke. I think it predates Gunsmoke. But the producer is a guy from Marinette named Arthur Gardner.
Oh, cool.
And he fought in World War II, had all the camera equipment. So they moved out to L.A. and he and his buddies produced The Rifleman and F Troop.
Okay.
And shows like that. So he's, definitely check him out. But all right. So, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's unbelievable, like the situation. Like, I read this book called Get Mahoney, which he was a publicist for both the studios and the newspapers during, like, the late 50s, like, or maybe early 50s with, like, Sinatra and Clark Gable and all these people. And just the stories of how all these things actually finally folded and went together with, like, you know, actors going rogue, just different things. Like, Frank Sinatra's son, Jr., he was kidnapped.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, get me Mahoney. And this guy came in and, like, solved the situation.
Oh, my God, I love that.
That's what producers do. You know, producers, when you got an actor that's like, well, I don't know about it, and you talk to him and you work with them. And
so this is a real guy?
Yeah, Mahoney.
There's a movie about him, or a book?
Well, the movie Hail Caesar was loosely based on Mahoney, the Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
We have about a minute left. What, 2 minutes left?
I apologize. I know. I'm stuck on the old clocks.
There's new clocks? Is this like a new language that we need to learn?
We changed the clocks. I had nothing to do with it.
My mechanical memory kicked in. It's okay. Now you have a minute and a half.
We just wasted our extra time talking about the new clock.
It's important stuff.
Exactly. All right, so JB, we got about a minute left. What are you watching? What can you recommend?
Lately, I just started digging into these old Stephen King movies. So when I was in LA, I was fortunate enough to meet a director, Craig R. Baxley, and he did like a lot of stunt stuff, a ton of stuff. He's a second generation filmmaker, and then he directed all these things for Stephen King. So there was this King Hospital, and then there was The Storm of the Century, which was like a three-part miniseries.
And it's amazing.
It is, right?
Nice.
It's just this beautiful like work that he did, and they block shot everything for the entire series of Kingdom Hospital. And so they had to, the actors needed to know their arc at what point in the story they were, and it's like a 17-hour total series. But yeah, so Craig R. Baxley was a guy I got a chance to meet out there, and just an awesome guy. So that's awesome. What I'm digging into right now.
All right. I love it. I appreciate you making the drive from Appleton. I'm going to shake your hand. Oh, well, how does that you. Feel?
We'll do this.
Well, I've already shook it now.
I know, but it was just a recourse.
We could do the guy hug where we block ourselves. And then. All right, J.B. Thompson, thank you so much,
thank
buddy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great having you. We're coming right back with Chelsea Myris, and we're going to talk Old World Wisconsin. That's next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
It's a party on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, and you're invited every Tuesday at 5:30. It's just Merle and a girl, and Thursdays on the patio feature singer-songwriter Shelly Faith.
Well, hey, bartender, won't you pour me another?
Music starts at 5:30. It's live music on the patio at the Lazy Oaf Lounge every Tuesday and Thursday. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyOafLounge.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Voting Rights Lab reports there were 59 state bills introduced on proof of citizenship for voter registration this year, and 160 bills concerning voter ID. A handful have made it near the finish line, but not all have passed. Since President Donald Trump's baseless accusations of mail-in voting fraud in 2020 and his unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting in the 2024 election, Republican-dominated legislatures have raced to pass stricter voter ID and proof of citizenship laws, despite no widespread abuse of either. In New Hampshire, versions of SB 218 were advanced, requiring submission of ID and proof of citizenship for absentee registration, and are now in a committee of conference. In Texas, a high-priority documentary proof of citizenship bill died without action at the end of the session. In Texas alone, there were 15 bills introduced to provide documentary proof of citizenship and 10 tightening voter ID laws. Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo surprisingly vetoed a bipartisan voter ID bill attempting to codify a widely supported ballot initiative. Democrats negotiated expanded ballot drop boxes in exchange for supporting voter ID. His veto statement said the bill did not address implementing voter ID for mail-in ballots. Wyoming and Indiana passed proof of citizenship earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are cruising through a Thursday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your host, Pete Schwabba, and I am so thrilled you are here tonight as we come together and connect over movies and TV and all the fun stuff we love about life. Jim from Appleton says, in response to our question of the night, who is your favorite retired athlete? Jim says, my favorite is Sidney Moncrief. Former Bucks player, a real class act. The Walter Payton is hard to beat. They called him sweetness for many reasons. I agree, and I loved Sidney Moncrief as well, Jim. He was really fun to watch. Carrie from Tosa, she's in the 414. She says, Thurman Munson, a catcher for the New York Yankees, died in a plane crash in the 80s. That's one of those moments where I remember where I was. And he was like in a glider or something strange like that. Have you ever teleported yourself, Amanda?
Not in real life.
Hovercraft, nothing like that?
No.
Okay. You don't like to live. All right. We're going to pivot here, folks. We talked a little bit about independent films and the popcorn pick of the week, and now we are changing our approach here on the show. We're going to talk about a really cool museum right here in Wisconsin. I'm about to welcome my next guest from Old World Wisconsin. She's the education program manager, and she joins us now on the stream, Chelsea Myris. Hi, Chelsea.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to meet you. I appreciate you taking time out on a Thursday when you could be watching color television or going out to eat or something. So we appreciate your time. We've talked about on this show the museum previously when there were other events happening. For those who don't know, and I admit I've always heard of it, I've never been there. Tell us about Old World Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, it is a very unique place. You kind of got to see it to believe it. So going to have to come out. But it is 600 acres. It's in the Kettle Moraine Park. So it's just beautiful landscapes. But it is 60 historic buildings that were moved there from the 1960s through this year. We are still getting some. So when you come, it's a little bit of an outdoor history museum, a little bit of an attraction. You get to come and see all sorts of cool buildings. There are staff all around, some in historic clothing. There are trams to take you around the site, animals to see, and activities to do. We're very hands-on, love learning and having fun with people.
How do you, like, you're the education manager. It's such a all-encompassing museum. How do you brand it? How do you sell it? What do you sell it as? Like, if you had to give like an elevator pitch, is it like history of Wisconsin pretty much, but you do events too? It's just such a unique place.
Yeah, we definitely, the elevator pitch is to whoever I'm talking to. I work mostly with kids. So when I talk to them, I'm like, animals, hands-on, butter making, running around in the grass stuff. People like history, of course. We go into deep dives about architecture and the history of Wisconsin. The schoolhouse is a great fun thing. So many cool stuff. Just kind of depends. And of course, we have the beer garden and brew house and the new tavern. So if that's your history of Wisconsin you want to touch into, we've got it all.
I hope we can get to all of that. You just talked about you're moving buildings in. What does that entail? I mean, you have a 600 acre campus. How does that work?
Super cool. It really depends. Some were moved literally brick by brick, and you can come and see the numbers on the bricks to know how that was done. And some, like recently, our tavern was moved a couple years ago, reassembled on site. I got to see it all happen. That was cool. And now it's open for the public. But that was moved in four pieces. So the first floor, second floor, bathroom, and roof all came separately on trucks from central Wisconsin.
That's pretty cool. And you mentioned, but like at the 4th of July celebration, I saw this. You're going to let people churn butter. Does the chance to churn your own butter put the butts in the seats? Are people excited to do that?
People love it. Have you ever had fresh churned butter?
Apparently not. And I've never churned butter, but I'm open to it. I'm open to the churning.
It's delicious. There's not even salt in it. It's just the cream. But something about it being fresh, it is totally different.
And people get to taste it after they...
Yep, they get their own little canister to try out themselves. So all sanitary and all that. But everyone of all ages loves to try some fresh churned butter.
All right. One more thing I have to ask you about, then we'll get into the midsummer event. What is goat yoga? Can you explain goat yoga to the...
I can. It is what it sounds like. You come out before we are open, and it is not goats that live at Old World. They come and visit us for the morning. And so the goats and the goat owner comes along, and you literally do yoga next to one of our historic buildings in our beautiful grass in the Kettle Moraine Park. And goats walk around and sometimes climb on you.
Do they bite you?
No, they're very friendly goats. Very sweet.
I feel like if you're in downward facing dog, you're in a very vulnerable position to a wild animal.
Okay. But that's not so bad. Probably what you're paying for.
Okay, very good. All right, so we've got Chelsea Myers is my guest. She is the education program manager at Old World Wisconsin. They have a big celebration coming up. This is before Independence Day. This is just this weekend, right? So tell us about the midsummer event.
Yeah, so it's this Saturday, and it's all day with a general admission ticket. So what it means is that if you just come out, you'll get your whole regular day at Old World, plus all this extra fun stuff. So we are celebrating midsummer, which the celebration in Sweden is also happening this Saturday. It's pretty cool when aligns. And midsummer is the celebration of the summer solstice, the longest day of the year. And so we'll have all of the typical things, which includes you can make a flower crown for a token. You can come and learn about some of the traditions, like a lot of divination was popular in midsummer. So you can learn about how to do some of that. You can do some nature study. And of course, the big maypole that you get to dance around.
I saw that. That sounds like, do people get into that and have a lot of fun with it?
Oh, yes. And we'll have multiple chances for people to do it. Though the end of the day is the one where we get to do the really complex pattern. So you can practice in the morning and then we get to do that. Yeah. Very intricate dance.
A more family-friendly, wholesome form of pole dancing, which I'm in favor of. All right, so Chelsea Myers is here. We're going to have more with her after we do the news here. We'll jump into more Midsummer talk, and then they have a big Independence Day celebration. We'll talk about all of that, and we'll read your text. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Diplomacy is underway to try to end the week-long war between Israel and Iran, with a meeting underway in Geneva.
French President Emmanuel Macron says Europe will push for a negotiated solution to the conflict, but expectations for any breakthroughs are low.
Reports ABC's Ines de la Quintera. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio speaking this morning by phone with the French foreign minister stressed the United States is ready for direct contact with the Iranians at any time. Should that fail, we've learned a second aircraft carrier is making its way from the Western Pacific to the Middle East, and a third is set to leave Virginia. An appeals court is allowing President Trump to keep control of the National Guard troops that he sent to Los Angeles following protests over immigration raids, Trump arguing that the troops were necessary to restore order. Governor Gavin Newsom says that they inflamed tensions and usurped local authority. This is ABC News.
The Pacers beat the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Pacers dominated the Thunder last night in Indianapolis, 108-91, to tie up the NBA Finals at three games apiece. Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton from the Pacers on Sunday night in Oklahoma City. It'll be the first time there's been a Game 7 in the Finals in 9 years.
You know, for the next couple days, the narratives are going to be almost poison, you know, to talk about what this would mean to our city and legacy talk, and we played so well.
Baseball tonight, the Brewers opening a three-game series against the Twins at Target Field. The Crew with a dramatic 8-7 win over the Cubs in Chicago yesterday, despite some very questionable balls and strike calls by the home plate umpire against the Brewers' Abner Uribe and Trevor McGill.
Pretty bad calls there in Abner's inning and in my inning. Yeah, I mean, that's baseball, I guess. I mean, they're going to have bad days back there, too.
That's Brewers closer Trevor McGill with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. No superhero movie will go into production without a finished script. It sounds like a no-brainer, but it had to be said. That is a declaration in the DC Universe by CEO James Gunn. Gunn says the movie industry is dying due to this very practice. Gunn, who's also made movies at Marvel Cinemas, says they are guilty of it too. The Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy director-producer says it's not that people don't want to see movies, it's just that studios make unfinished scripts. Everything starts with the script. Well, NBC tried to make a case for a Night Court reboot, and it was an okay idea for three seasons, but will not see a fourth. The original Night Court ran for 9 seasons in the 80s and starred Harry Anderson. Melissa Rauch took over behind the bench for the new iteration and said recently producers shopped the reboot to other networks after NBC canceled it in May. According to Variety, the show premiered in 2023 to excellent ratings and was almost immediately renewed, but the ratings dropped off fast and hard. Tough biz. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A few showers and thunderstorms around early, then increasing sunshine with highs in the mid-80s. Partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with lows in the mid-70s. Hot and humid this weekend, highs in the mid-90s. Heat index values as high as 105. Right now, it's 71.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete. A
little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, to discuss the state of the state's budget. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. I am Pete Schwalbe. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. The weekend is right around the corner. Do you find that the weekend, I like summer best before the 4th? Because after the 4th, it just seems to fly by. It's so crazy. I like it pre-4th.
I do as well, mostly because it's in that it might be summer weather. It might not be. It might be summer weather. It's not going to be.
It's not.
And then after the 4th, it's just really hot and everyone makes me close my windows and turn on the AC and I get real sad.
Well, let's talk about that. Our question, by the way, if you want to get in on the fun, folks, I will read your text on the radio. How exciting is that? Who's your favorite retired athlete? We will read text in just a few minutes here, but we've got some more time here with our current guest. And we should ask Chelsea this. Chelsea Myris is from the Old World Wisconsin Museum. She's the education program manager. Midsummer is a celebration of the summer solstice. Chelsea, are we going to see the sun this summer, do you think, at all?
Oh, we should see it a lot this weekend.
I hope so. Man, it's been brutal up here in Northeast Wisconsin. Yeah. All right. So tell us a little more. All right. The Scandinavian homesteads area of your museum, you can enjoy fermented ale samples, food games, and fun. Tell us what's there for families.
Oh, yes. We're all about activities for all ages. So the great thing about our whole midsummer is that you can do all the other old world fun stuff. So come to the village and everything. There are some cooking demos that you can see and actually help out with. Oh, nice. We always like to have hands-on with our cooking. We've also got, if you want to learn a little bit more about the flowers of midsummer, you can go to our naturalist cabin. So you're specifically learning about those flowers that are really popular in midsummer celebrations and the flower crowns and atop our maypole. And of course, the dancing in the maypole. Kids can do that all as well. And then at Raspberry Schoolhouse, there are going to be some extra fun games as well. So the regular school lessons and learn a little bit more about Scandinavia.
It'll be different. It's like you're trying to trick kids into going to school when they should be celebrating.
It's not a trick. They come to Old World and the first thing they say is, I want to go to the schoolhouse.
Oh,
something about
so
summer and school.
I love it. Old World, Wisconsin, midsummer celebration takes place June 21st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Chelsea Myris is with us right now, and she is the program education manager. Kids get in free on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool. Can you tell us what kind of stuff you offer like during the week like that?
Oh, yeah. So kids get in free on Wednesdays means that every Wednesday this summer, your kids 12 and under are free. And that's just it. That's no trick or anything.
That's huge.
You arrive with an adult. You can't just drop them off.
Right.
you arrive and you get to see all our regular stuff. Our whole site is open every day, Wednesday through Sunday. So just because it's a weekday doesn't mean we're not doing our awesome stuff. Come see the blacksmiths. Come see the animals at Animal Encounters. You can get up close to them. Do a bunch of chores. Another thing kids love to do when they're not at home.
Do you actually put the kids to work so that
always,
you don't have to hire
yes.
a maintenance crew? Just like trick them into thinking they're helping?
Our maintenance crew does a lot of amazing work. But yes, we do put the kids to dust out. As you can imagine, our historic buildings get really dusty,
yeah, right.
especially in the summer. They love to sweep. They love to do the dishes after our cooking demos.
That's so great. Old World, Wisconsin, folks, is just 45 minutes from Milwaukee. It looks spectacular. It's on my list of places to see. Tell us about your Independence Day weekend celebration you have coming up.
Well, you can come on July 4th, which is really exciting. So that's Friday. And then also on July 5th. So if you have something else going on, you know, the family barbecue or the town parade or something, you've got another chance to come out. And there's all sorts of cool stuff. If you've got a competitive patriotic streak, we do our pie eating contest and our tug of war. You can also join and see our parade or join in if you want. And it's decorated beautifully with our red, white, and blue bunting and flags all over the place.
Where does the patriotism come in with the pie eating? Actually, there's nothing more American than a good old fashioned food contest. When you have the pie eating contest, are you going for quantity or quality? Do manners come into play? Do you get marks, high marks for manners or?
I would say less marks for manners. Okay. You got to go all in. One pie. So it's how quickly can you eat the pie?
Oh, my goodness.
Divvy based on age, and we do multiple throughout the day, so you have many, many chances. And we even let people pick the flavor of their pie. So, you know, not just cherry pie. You can have a blueberry or apple or something, and then we see who wins.
Do you ever worry that people are just trying to get free pie and they're really not interested in winning?
Every once in a while, we get a kid that gives up and just walks away with his pie, and we're like, "That's okay." He's happy.
All right. So you could, and I love this description, suit up in your best patriotic gear. And you, again, you can churn butter. That's exciting. And what else? I mean, is there, I think you mentioned a parade. Do you have that on the 4th as well?
Yes, it's on both. So our run a show is the same on Friday and Saturday. And the parade is at the end of the day. So the big final celebration. Oh, nice. And it is a classic 1876 parade, which is what we show, kind of what they were celebrating on the centennial of the United States. So we have flags out there like celebrating, you know, getting votes for women and things like that. We just found a flag that says "Let Freedom Ring" in German, as many would have been speaking German in this area.
Right.
And you can join in. You can put on some swag, wave a flag, all of that.
It sounds like so much fun. Tell us what animals, like you have on this sheet here, animal encounters, and I'm sure the kids flip for the animals. What kind of animals and what do they flock to? What are their favorites?
We got animals big and small. So the farm animals are working animals and they are out there. We have a pair of working oxen that you can see in the field. We have a couple pairs of horses. We've got the big draft horses and little town horses. You can really see the difference in the sizes.
Wow.
You can see our sheep all over the place. We do our wool processing with that sheep wool.
Nice.
You can come out every spring and see us shear them and all of that. And then if you want to get up close with them, that's at our animal encounters. So that's our little area where we have an animal encounter staff person. You can actually meet some of them. So we have our little bunny who's there, our rabbit, Sable. And then we also have some chicks that are there. And throughout the year, you might see other animals like baby lambs. So it's all sorts of fun. And every single animal we have on site is a heritage breed, which means it's a breed that's been around for a long time. Actual animals they might have had back in the 19th century. And chickens, of course, are just running all over the place.
That's always fun, too. Rebecca Werner sent me all this information. I was literally in the process of researching this and writing all these questions. And then, boom, she just sends this to me over the email. But you've got historic three-wheel bicycles. You can hike. There are hiking trails, a nature hike. Five different historic farmsteads. This place is like, is it getting more popular? Or do people flock to it? Or are you still trying to get more visitors? I mean, it sounds like people would just be lined up around the block.
Yeah, I'd say both. I mean, we have a huge membership. A member to the Wisconsin Historical Society gets in free to Old World, plus all of our other historic sites in the state. So we have people that come literally every week to enjoy it. We also have people that come from afar, whether it's their first time, you know, coming from across all over the world. I have talked to many people in different languages and from different countries. And people come because their, you know, friends or family they're visiting said, you know what, there's really not an Old World Wisconsin anywhere else. You need to kind of see what this place is.
Is that true? Yeah. Is this a very unique museum for this state? Oh, that's so great. Yeah.
I do have a question.
Amanda has a question.
I have a question. So you guys dress as authentically as you can, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. What do you do in instances like this weekend where they're saying we're going to be in the 90s, maybe hitting 100? How do you stay cool in all those layers?
Well, a couple of good points. We do always keep our staff safe. So in extreme temperatures, we do have various ways. We're not as strict with our period clothing. We keep the fires down, things like that. But period clothing, it was made to keep people cool in these hot temperatures. So if I'm in my full period clothing, I'll have multiple skirts on, the petticoats underneath the main dress. And if I twirl around, it's like a fan just on my body. It keeps, you know, cool and everything.
Oh, wow.
I've got my hat on that keeps my face from getting sunburnt and all of that. So it's very, you know, looser woven, light clothing. Kind of like what you see people wearing today in some, you know, warmer, like desert environments, like wearing long sleeve clothes, but lighter. And it really does keep cool once you get used to it.
That is interesting. And I have heard that when you take your, like my dad was on this crew and he was in college and he said with city workers in Chicago, and he was so hot, he took his shirts off and they all started laughing at him. Because you want to keep your clothes on because you sweat and the coolness of your own perspiration keeps your body cool.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right? I think we lost Chelsea. I just said something that really rubbed her the wrong way. All right, Chelsea, I'm not going to take my shirt off if I come to Old World, Wisconsin. Don't worry about that. All right, finally, I want to ask you about Wittenbull's Tavern. This looks really cool, another attraction on the grounds.
Yeah, so this is our newest open attraction. So Whitnable's Tavern is from Old Ashapin, real tavern from the 1930s, run by the Whitnable family. It's originally attached to their house, actually, which is cool. So the tavern was brought and reassembled here. And so you can step in and you're back in the 1930s. Happy days are here again. It's right after Prohibition.
Yeah.
And you can get a beer in the style of the 1930s that was brewed. Our brewmaster brewed it in collaboration with a local brewery. You can taste what a 1930s beer would have tasted like and some other modern day craft beer from the 1930s.
Do you have to twist Wisconsinites' arms to get them to try a beer at this attraction?
You know, it's funny. Just because it just opened a month ago, we've been noticing on the grounds a lot more people getting questions about like, oh, should we go to the tavern when we arrive at 10? That seems weird, right? No.
Well, they'll be tailgating in no time outside Old World, Wisconsin. My guest is Chelsea Myris. She is the education program manager at Old World, Wisconsin. Chelsea, I ask everybody almost that comes on the show this question before we let you go. What are you watching on TV? You're an educator. You seem very intellectual. You've got this really cool museum. What do you watch at night when you take off the petticoats and you're just putting your feet up and relaxing?
Oh, that is a good question. I have a 2-year-old, so I don't get to see a lot of TV at the moment. But I just finished the second season of The Last of Us, so that we made some time for that one. That was very good.
You know, this is funny you say that because I watched the first season and I liked it. And the second season, I was pretty excited to check out, and I was letting them build up. And then the big plot point in the second or third episode with Pedro, I'm like, I'm not watching it now. Like, I just couldn't picture him. And I guess the show went on and it was fine and he does come back, but I don't know, that kind of turned me off.
You didn't play
bit.
The games, did you?
Yeah.
No,
my husband played the games.
Yeah.
And he kept me watching. There's an episode you need to watch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm surrounded by nerds, and that tells me it's time to move on with the show. All right. Chelsea, thank you so much for your time tonight. You have a great museum there. I haven't been there. I am coming one of these days. I cannot wait to see it. And keep up the amazing work at this really unique place we have here in Wisconsin. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. All right, that's Chelsea Myris. Check out Old World, Wisconsin this weekend. Why don't you pack up the car and take the little one down there?
I don't got that kind of time.
Yeah, I guess not. You know,
it's my fat weekend.
It's kind of it's your fat. What does that mean? You can just
We got fat.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Are you ready to crack open something amazing? Whether it's a fresh pistachio or the keys to your dream home, we've got you covered. Just like pistachios, the best homes are worth the wait. And once you find the perfect one, it is so satisfying. At Aaron Weber Group, we help you find homes that are as irresistible as a handful of pistachios. So whether you're house hunting or just snacking, remember, great things come in shells and in the perfect four walls. Call Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass today, and let's get you into a home that's a real treat.
Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you think you know the story behind Summerfest, you may be surprised to learn this. Summerfest didn't start on Milwaukee's lakeshore. Opening to the booms from an air show, the 9-day event in July of 1968 also included car races, soccer matches, and of course, music of all sorts. It was held at more than 35 different locations across the city. Research shows the first several years didn't make money, but rather than give up, organizers moved everything to what had been a 15-acre Cold War missile site and airport along Lake Michigan. This big decision to find a permanent site in the 1970s grew to what's known as the Big Gig, and now runs the next three weekends, noon to midnight. More history and information right here next week, and event details at summerfest.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The John and Gordy Show.
Mike McCabe joins us, by the way.
Yes, Mike, you know about the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
The announcer calls them the Nanners.
They have all kinds of antics.
They have,
I mean, it's
they have
great.
Bright yellow uniforms.
Yes, they do.
And they do performance dances at home base.
Or
the
in the field.
The players are out there like cheerleaders.
Yeah. And even the umpires get involved.
Yeah, they do. Play.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Would it be weird if I just started singing?
No, it's your show.
Okay. It is my show. This is Pete Schwabe, and this is Nightlight. And you've got the Civic Media Radio Network on a Thursday, folks. And how could you do better than that? It's raining outside. This is the perfect night to sit inside and listen to the radio, at least for a few more minutes. Brian from Green Bay on the text line very early in the show said, those shenanigans are not helping your cause of Todd enjoying vacation. We were kind of talking about hijinks.
Are you a narc, Brian? Are you going to tell Todd?
Oh, Brian has been outed as a narc. And Brian says, Jordy Nelson. That's a good one. Favorite retired athlete, Jameson from Pennsylvania says, morning guy, don't forget to tune in to Nightlights with Dieter Schwarma. We have so much fun with my name on this show. It's Peach Cobbler. I've not heard that one. I like that one, Jameson. Thank you. Dieter Schwarma. Tom from New Berlin says, sweetness was the goat. Robin Yount was mine. I was 12 when he came to the Brewers, grew up with him. Great choices, Tom. Yeah. Robin Yount, 19, I believe. When he joined the Brewers. I remember going to Brewers games. My mom's family lived in Milwaukee. We'd come up and tailgate. Lots of fun. Ross from Crawford County says, I think my favorite is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a.k.a. Lou Alcindor. Intelligent. He was in the movie Airplane. And then he added mild-mannered. That was just such a tangential offshoot of the rest of the text. Did you see Airplane?
No.
Oh, God. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is hilarious. This kid is riding him saying, my dad says you don't try hard. He's like, kid, I'm not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm a pilot. No, my dad says you don't work hard. You don't give it all every night. And finally, Jabbar just explodes and grabs the kid and says, the hell I don't. Totally breaks cover. We read that one. Billie Jean King, Donald Driver, Thurman Munson. Oh, I kind of jumped around before. Sydney in Oregon says, my cousin used to play a mean game of soccer in the juniors league. Retired now. Shout out to the real number one. Really could have been something. Oh, that's kind of nice. Throwing a cousin's name out there. Bridget from the 818 says, Michael Jordan, the absolute best. Hard to argue with that, Bridget. Great choice. Andrea from Grafton says, was not meant for us. I almost read something very embarrassing, Amanda. What do you think about that?
I mean, is it the first time, though?
Something I didn't write that was embarrassing. Tony, the trucker from the 608, he says, Pete, Joe Thomas. Oh, that's a great one, Tony. Ex-Badger, Hall of Famer, played his entire career in Cleveland, never winning a championship, could easily have went elsewhere for more money, but showed his loyalty to the city and the game. Wasn't about money or accolades. What do you think about that? People feel sorry. These are all outstanding texts, by the way, everybody. I know I got behind, so I hope you stuck with me there, but we always we like to leave no text unturned. But these were all excellent choices. But what do you think? People say, well, he was rich. You know, who cares if you didn't win a championship? And I like to think I wouldn't care either if I was doing what I loved and getting paid gobs of money for it. But you're still a competitor, right?
I feel like that's in, like, the entirety of the sports world is about winning. Like, I mean, I'm going to get some hate here, but look at Packer fans, okay? When the Packers lose and everyone goes to work that Monday, and it's a nightmare to be around other people. And if you think you feel that bad, imagine the people who lost.
Who played.
Yep.
But they played, they lost, but they got a huge paycheck. We're just fans. We're at their mercy, so to speak, right?
They may get the huge paycheck because that's just industry standard for them.
Right.
But imagine the inside, like, back and forth between the other players, between the coaches, managers, like, whatever else they have.
That's true. And you do feel kind of, like, Joe Thomas, by all accounts, everything I've heard about him, was a great guy. And there are a lot of those people that have these great careers but never won anything. And I don't feel sorry for them because they did what they love and they got paid a lot of money. But it would be nice if they could cap their...
It would be nice.
Yeah, at least... It's not high on my list of I feel sorry for this professional athlete, but it would be nice if they got some hardware.
I mean, and again, it's not like they're doing nothing. They have grueling practices. Like that type of physical work that early in the morning, that late at night, and all different types of like temperatures and environments.
Absolutely.
I played rugby and the exercises we had to do were worse than playing the game itself.
You played rugby?
Oh, yeah. Best anger management out there, by the way.
I bet it is. Did you get down and dirty?
I got cleated in the face.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But you get back up. You keep going.
But that's an accident. That's not someone that's got your number.
The best thing about rugby is on the field, you are out to just beat the crap out of each other. But the second the game is over, you are hugging the person who may have just broken your nose and sharing a meal together like nothing happened.
See, I don't get that. I was in a floor hockey league in college in intramurals, and this guy kept checking me. He was twice my size, and I wanted to beat the crap. After the game, I was like, we were doing one of those handshakes where we were like trying to outshake each other.
Like, this
we
is
were
why you don't hands. Like shaking hands.
That very well could be. Hey, tomorrow night, folks, on Nightlight, we've got another fun show here. Quinn Hurley will be here to talk about the Green Bay Tattoo Festival. Do you have any ink, Amanda?
Yep, got three of them. There we go. Had a count.
Cool. I don't know what I would do at this point in my life. Like, it might be a cry for help if I got a tattoo. But
no,
kind of cool.
No, definitely not. Anyone can. I mean, there's people in their 80s getting tattoos.
Well, that must be tough with that skin all crumply like that.
Yeah, probably not the best for the people doing it, but.
Those tattoo artists earn their money. And then Chris Ruckdashel will be here from Muskie Fest in Hayward. And this is cool, too, because in addition to talking about muskies, and I assume fishing for muskies, we'll find out tomorrow night. They're going to show a film that was shot up in that area called Blood Hook from 1987. It's kind of a cult thing they do. I can't wait to talk to Chris about that. And then, this is exciting, folks. All the fun things are happening when Conrad is gone. Have you noticed that?
It's like he does it on purpose.
I think
Where
he
do you
does.
Think he is?
Terry Barr's coming back. I'm out. Terry Barr will be here tomorrow night. Barr Band Friday night is happening tomorrow. It's happened the whole time she was on vacation, too. Rocker filled in admirably and spectacularly. It was really fun talking to Rocker the last 3 weeks. But our old pal Terry will be back. His co-host on Max Inc. Radio, the award-winning Max Inc. Radio. How many trophy shelves does Terry Barr have?
She's got to have a whole room at
Ridiculous.
This point.
I don't. I probably shouldn't even like her on paper. All right, we're coming back tomorrow night. This is going to be exciting, folks. Have a great night. Thank you to Chelsea Myris. Thank you to JB Thompson, the guy behind the guy. Behind the guy. Thank you to Amanda Nimmer for filling in for the lovable producer Conrad. I'm Peach Wabba. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Can diplomacy stop the bombing in Israel and Iran?
Today in Geneva, Iran's foreign minister will be meeting with diplomats from across Europe as President Trump hints the clock is ticking to make a deal.
ABC's Inés de la Quatera referencing the 2 weeks that Trump is giving himself to decide whether to join the war. Those 2 weeks will give the U.S. time to get battle groups in place should the president give the go. Meantime, the bombing continues. Today, another Iranian missile got through the Israeli Iron Dome, hit a six-story apartment building in Beersheba, injuring five. What about the effect on the environment from the thunderous explosion of a SpaceX rocket on the test pad in Texas? ABC's Andrea Fujii.
As the investigation into Wednesday